being beset by thieves. Ata, therefore, loke, this world. Aham, I. Yagna arte, for the purpose of performing sacrifices. Agrasam, have hidden. Ashodi, all the herbs and grains. Translation. My dear king, not only are grains and herbs being used by non-devotees, but as far as I am concerned, I'm not being properly maintained. Indeed, I'm being neglected by kings who are not punishing these rascals who have turned into thieves by using grains for sense gratification. Consequently, I have hidden all these seeds which were meant for the performance of sacrifice. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. That which happened during the time of King Prithu Maharaj and his father, King Vena, is also happening at this present moment. A huge arrangement exists for the production of large-scale industrial and agricultural products, but all these products are meant for sense gratification. Therefore, despite such productive capacities, there is scarcity because the world's population is full of thieves. The word chori bhute indicates that the population has turned to thievery. According to Vedic understanding, men are transformed into thieves when they plan economic development for sense gratification. It is also explained in Bhagavad Gita that if one eats food grains without offering them to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajna, he is a thief and is liable to be punished. According to spiritual communism, all properties on the surface of the globe belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The population has a right to use goods only after offering them to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the process of accepting prasad. Unless one eats prasad, he is certainly a thief. It is the duty of governors and kings to punish such thieves and maintain the world nicely. If this is not done, grains will no longer be produced and people will simply starve. Indeed, not only will people be obliged to eat less, but they will kill one another and eat each other's flesh. They are already killing animals for flesh, so when there no longer will be grains, vegetables, and fruits, they will kill their own sons and fathers and eat their flesh for sustenance. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Muditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Gati Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarnam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, yajna arthat kamanon yata loko yam karma bandhana, that work has to be done to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, work binds one to the material world. Here we see in this verse that the earth is complaining to Prithu Maharaj that the not only people are not properly, using the grains that are being supplied. But the government or the kings, they're not performing their duties also for punishing the people that are not properly performing. So what is that proper performance? Today we see that everyone performs on the basis of sense gratification. People attend their work, they work hard. Why? Because they feel that they're going to get some fruit from that work, and with that work they'll enjoy sense gratification, fruitive activities. But yet the Bhagavatam warns that whatever occupation you perform, you should never perform that simply for sense gratification. And whatever material gain that one obtains, one should not, again, use that for sense gratification. But here we see that Srila Prabhupada's explaining that the whole arrangement of this modern world is based on sense gratification. They have huge arrangements, Prabhupada mentions, for producing various things, also producing agricultural products, industrial products. And this industrial society has been going on for 100, 150 years or so. So they have so many arrangements for producing things, but still there's scarcity. How many people in the world, around the world, are starving? They go to bed hungry at night. They don't get enough to eat. But Srila Prabhupada, when he was traveling, he noticed, you know, he went to Africa, he traveled in America, and wherever he went, he saw that there was so much open land that wasn't being cultivated. So he used to comment in his class that there's no scarcity of food. That's not the problem. The problem is mismanagement. And what is that mismanagement? The mismanagement is that the leaders do not know how to guide the people. They're misguided, and they also misguide the people. They are convinced that life is meant for sense gratification, and that's what they promote amongst the people. So actually, all the leaders, Prabhupada said, are not leaders, but cheaters. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, this world is a world of the cheaters and the cheated. That's all you have, the cheaters and the cheated. Because they don't know that life is meant for something else rather than sense gratification. And they're blind. The leaders are all blind. They have no vision to see anything. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Andayanda Andaya Rupaniyamana. The blind man, he stands up and tells all the other blind people, follow me. I'll lead you. We just saw an election happen in India. Andayanda Andaya Rupaniyamana. All the people, they don't know. They think life is sense gratification. They're blind to the reality of what life is meant for. And along comes the equally blind leaders, regardless of whatever party they claim. Follow me. Give me your vote. I will lead you. Right? And what happens? When the blind person tells all the other blind people, come follow me, what happens? Everybody falls in the ditch. This is what's happening today in society. Everyone is headed towards the ditch, right behind their great Netaji. So, the situation of the population is very, very unfortunate. Prabhupada says that the population is full of thieves. And generally we think of thief as someone who, steal something out of your pocket, right? Or they come in the night and they break into the house when you're not there. Chori karke jayega, right? Chor. The words used here, chori bute. So all over the population has become thieves. And somebody may become insulted by that. Hey, how can you say that? Everyone is not a thief. There must be some good men out there somewhere, right? But actually it's a fact. Everyone is thief. Chore number one. Huh? Why? Because they don't understand the principle. And the principle is that everything belongs to God. Everything. Ishivashamidam sarvam. Everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. And unless one recognizes that everything belongs to God, then he's a thief. Huh? Whatever it is, it belongs to him. So the Srila Prabhupada mentions a verse from Bhagavad Gita. The devotees of the Lord, they eat food which is offered for sacrifice. Yagnashi shtashana shanto muchante sarva kilbishahi bunjate te tagaham papam ye pachanti atmakaranat. So because they eat food which is offered for sacrifice, they're released from all kinds of sins. And those who prepare food for personal sense gratification, they're only eating pap. So on the one hand, people are thieves. If I take something from you and I don't recognize that it belongs to you, then I'm a thief. Right? And on the other hand, everyone's eating food that's not offered in sacrifice. It's not prasadam. So they're eating only pap, sinful food. So Srila Prabhupada says, how can there be any happiness in this world? If everybody is a thief and everybody is sinful, how can they be happy? It's not possible. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so unlimitedly kind, that he's giving people, he's opening their eyes from the ignorance. He's asking everyone to come. Wake up, sleeping soul. Wake up to what? Wake up to the fact that we're the eternal servant of Krishna and everything belongs to Krishna and everything should be used in Krishna's service. We're in this material world because we have this exact opposite consciousness. We come here thinking that we will lord it over this world, that will manipulate this world in such a way that we will enjoy. This is a false concept. It's not possible. No matter how we manipulate the material energy, ultimately, if you think it's for sense gratification, you're destined to fail. It's only when the living entity realizes that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord and therefore it should be offered to him, that he can become peaceful. No, just like if you have a thief, the thief is always in anxiety he's going to get caught. So he's always looking. And when they go out to steal, they put grease on their body, I heard. So that if somebody tries to grab them, they're too slippery, they get away. Right? Somebody told me that. Right? So they're afraid they're going to get caught. So everyone is a thief in this material world. All are thieves. One time Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, he was a little sick. He used to go on his morning walk in Mayapur out towards the Jalangi and towards the Goshala. And he would walk more than halfway out to Jalangi, and then he would come back and greet the deities Radha Madhava. Now at that time, there wasn't big Radha Madhava. There was only small Radha Madhava and Mahaprabhu. Those were the deities of Mayapur. But he was sick. He wasn't feeling well. So he took his walk up on the roof, you know. And at that time there was only one building. I forget what they call it now. The Lotus building, right? So there were many sannyasis. And there was one gentleman, a businessman from Calcutta. And so Srila Prabhupada was talking with the devotees. And Panchadavid Maharaj was talking to Srila Prabhupada about sannyas. He was a sannyasi, Panchadavid Swami. And Prabhupada was mentioning, why do they want to take sannyas? Every time I come to Mayapur, give me sannyas, give me sannyas. Why do they want to take sannyas? And somebody said, because they want to become leaders. And Prabhupada said, what will they lead? And then Panchadravid Maharaj said something. And Prabhupada replied to him, you took sannyas because no woman would have you, he said. And all the devotees laughed. And then there was a businessman. And Panchadavid Maharaj came and introduced to Srila Prabhupada this Calcutta businessman. So Srila Prabhupada began speaking to him. What kind of business do you do? He said, I make glass. I have a glass manufacturing business. And he said, oh really? What is glass made from? And he started to explain the process of making glass. He said, you take sand, and from the sand you filter it, you get silicone. And then, you know, he's explaining all these things to Srila Prabhupada. And kind of at the end of his explanation, Prabhupada said, oh, so then you're a very big thief. And the Calcutta businessman was shocked. He said, yes. These are all the products that you're taking from Krishna. These all things belong to Krishna. But yet, you're thinking that you're the manufacturer and that you've made the glass and this belongs to you. Therefore, you're a big thief. And that's actually the situation of everyone in this material world. Huh? They're using the things of the Supreme Lord without recognizing that this belongs to Him. The whole Vedic system of offering yajna, sacrifice, is again acknowledging where everything comes from. It comes from the Supreme Lord. And unless we do that, then we're simply thieves. And there's no question of anyone becoming happy unless they perform sacrifice, right? Acknowledging through that sacrifice that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. So in this age, the sacrifice that's recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Sankirtan Yajna, or the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So, because people are not performing sacrifice, because they're not recognizing that God owns everything, they are also only eating sinful food, which is not prasad, so they're sinful. So Krishna is going to restrict everything more and more, right? Right now, there's an economic crisis all around the world, and that's only going to become worse, right? And Srila Prabhupada is hinting here at how bad it's going to become. It's going to be so bad that you're not going to be able to get sabji. You're not going to be able to get fruits. And eventually you won't have any grains also. Only meat. Right? And then people will become so degraded, so fallen, that they'll be killing each other and eating each other's flesh. It's described in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. Things will become so degraded. And devotees who live in Kali Yuga later on, they'll have to hide in caves so that they won't be harassed by the non-devotee population. Srila Prabhupada says, perfect your Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. Be very careful where you take your next birth. Finish up your business in this life. Chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Don't come back here into this material world, because this is only going to get worse and worse and worse. Nothing's going to happen timely. Right? By now, the rain should have already started. They're not happening. Right? So on the one side of the world, there'll be a lack of water. Right? In the lakes that supply water to Bombay for drinking and so many other purposes, they're drying up. If the rains don't come soon, there'll be no water supply at all. Right? And on the other side of the world, taxes. Right? Heavy taxes. So the people will be harassed so much. On one side by taxes, on the other side by natural calamities and difficulties in Kali Yuga. Mm-hmm. But little do they know that the remedy for all of these situations is there in the chanting of the holy name. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, there's no other happiness. Chota Bhuvane, in all the 14 worlds, there's nothing to be had. Nothing to be had except this name, Krishna Nam. And it's the life and soul of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Everything you could possibly want, whatever it is there in the holy name of Krishna. That's what we are being instructed by the acharyas. But we're so unfortunate that we think that actually happiness is anywhere and everywhere but in the holy name. We're so unfortunate. So we have to be careful where we take a next birth, and the best way to ensure that we don't take our birth here in this material world is to somehow or another please Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's devotees. We see in the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sent his devotees, his most intimate devotees, out door to door to request everyone to please chant the holy name of Krishna. So we can understand by this that this pleases the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why do we worship Radha and Krishna? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Radha and Krishna. We worship Radha Krishna. Why? Because it pleases Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the key. His mercy is the key to understanding Radha and Krishna. There's no other way. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if anyone thinks they're worshipping Krishna, and they don't have regard for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a mentality is demoniac. You cannot understand anything in the Kali Yuga about Radha and Krishna without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a prerequisite. So how will you get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? By preaching, following his instructions. And his instructions are, wherever you go, whomever you meet, please ask them to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Now whether people take or they don't take, that's not our concern. That's Lord Chaitanya's concern. Our business is to request them. Please take the Krishna consciousness. Please chant the holy name of Krishna. And if they do, then the whole world can be transformed. Right? In New Vrindavan, West Virginia, it's a mountainous place actually. Hills. I don't know how many of you have been to New Vrindavan, right? But Srila Prabhupada very much liked New Vrindavan. But it's got very cold winters. In the early days, the devotees didn't have much facility in New Vrindavan. They had a couple of houses, one barn to keep the cows, and they had very cold winters, right? So in order to make it to Mangalartik on time, because there was very little facility, devotees would, you know, take a bath out in the stream. Now that's okay in the summertime, but it's a little difficult in the winter. Huh? They used to have to break the ice and take a bucket and throw it over their head. Devotees used to do that to austerity, to make it to Mangalarti. But Srila Prabhupada said about New Vrindavan, even though it's such an austere place in the winter, if we get the people, just 1% of the population, 1% of the population to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, that New Vrindavan will become tropical. So that should be our goal. We want to get everyone, as many people as possible, to start chanting Hare Krishna and turn the tide and turn the effects of Kali Yuga away. What's 1% of the population of India? Who's a math guy? Right? What do you got, a billion people? Of a billion, right? Okay, 10 million people, that's not much. All we got to get is 10 million people in India to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. That's just like the population of Bombay, right? 10 million people. It's like a drop in the bucket in India, right? We can do it. Let's make a goal. Let's set a standard and a campaign to get as many people as possible chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then we can actually save India from all the demoniac influences that are there harassing the minds and the hearts of the people. And just like Prithu Maharaj set the world right by his influence, in this age we can set the world right by the influence of the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Comments? Microphone.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, in this verse it is mentioned how because people became sinful, Mother Earth, she hid all the various grains and other substances. Now if you look at it, India is relatively more pious, and there is some element of...
Was pious, relatively.
At least there is some element of Vedic culture remaining, people still go to temple, there is vegetarianism to a large extent and all this. Whereas if you look at the Western countries, for instance, Korea, if you see, the staple food that they eat every day is beef. That is the staple food. But even then, you see that they are so materially advanced, they have so much wealth compared to India, which is poverty-stricken, so to speak. So how do we understand and explain this?
Well, the wealth that they have is temporarily manifested. And one interesting point is that their knowledge, they have some knowledge, they have some technology, but it's all Maya Pritigyan. I'll give you one example. There's a chemical company in the city where I'm from. It's called Monsanto. Its world headquarters is in St. Louis. So they have this biogenetically modified food, right? And they made, you know, they're so cunning. You know, they have knowledge, but it's all stolen away by illusion. They make these seeds, right? And there's some biogenetically modified so that it looks very pretty, or it stands up against certain weather conditions nicely, or certain infections or infestments of insects. But then at the end of the production, it doesn't produce any seeds. There's no seeds. You know, like farmers, they keep some section of the field and they let it, it's called let it go to seed, so that they have seeds for the next year's production. But these scientists are so crooked, they took the gene out that makes the plant produce seeds, right? So the next year, the farmer, he doesn't have any seeds. He has to go back to Monsanto. Oh, Monsanto, give me more seeds. Right? So that's an example of what is being explained here. The oshodi, the herbs and the plants, they're being hidden away. Right? And they call it modern technology. We call it Maya. Right? And now there's some people that realize this. So they call them heritage seeds. They try to protect the seeds. And each generation they keep a quantity, and they're very expensive to get the original seeds that are there that are not genetically modified so that you can produce food that is nutritious and not just that it looks good or that it, you know, resistant to insects. What is the use of that? After you eat it, you should get energy from it. But today, people, they eat so many things, but they don't get energy from the food because of these so-called scientists. So it's all a temporary manifestation. Whether it's whatever country it is, they may be technologically advanced, but if you look at America, they have so much food. They pay the farmers not to grow food because they're trying to control the prices. But yet, although they have such opulence, because they use that opulence for sense gratification, therefore they're the most anxiety. Americans are the most people that are in the most anxiety. They're completely depressed. You sell, people in America take more antidepressants than any country in the world. Billions and billions of dollars worth of antidepressants. Prozac, Valium, so many different things. Because they're depressed. Why are they so depressed? They have everything. They have their cars, they have their house, they have the American dream. But the American dream is a nightmare. More and more the people are realizing there is no American dream. And that's what it is. It's just a dream. There's no reality to it. So they become depressed. If you think the goal of life is sense gratification, and this is all there is, and you don't have information about the real life, you become depressed. And that's what's happened to them. So what is the value? Right? We have to see things according to Shastra. It may look like, oh, they're technologically advanced, they have something, but yet they're so sinful. What is that? For how long? We can see the Western so-called opulent society is falling apart. Literally. Due to excessive sense gratification, yes.
There is one incident in Yudhishthira Maharaj's assembly. A Brahmana and a Sudra, they have committed the same crime. But Brahmana was given more punishment than a Sudra because he was in more knowledge. Mm. So like that, Indians, they are being given more punishment because they knew the Vedas, Vedic knowledge, they should behave properly. But because they are not doing it, that's why they are being punished more severely than Western countries who are in ignorance.
They should know better.
Yeah.
They should know better. So the punishment is more severe. Hmm. questions? Ananta Prabhu.
In a back issue of the Back to Godhead magazine in the library this week, I was reading an article titled The Myth of Overpopulation. And in that, they are referring to university reports from America. Mm. And there are two interesting statements. One says that the entire population of the earth can be accommodated in a portion of the one state of Texas. And each person can have 1,500 square feet of land. Then in the other statement referring from the Department of Agricultural Sciences, University of California research report based, says that using good agricultural practices, the world's farmers, even on the presently cultivated land, can produce enough to feed 10 times the world population. And if they will agree to consider vegetarian diet, then 30 times the world's population can be fed using today's good agricultural practices in the limited land that is being today cultivated in the world.
Mm-hmm. So what your point is that the world is being totally mismanaged.
Yes.
Extremely mismanaged. And this and the scarcity is not for any other reason except for the mentality. The people are in this mentality, the wrong mentality. And until they correct the mentality, both the leaders and the people, there'll always be problems and scarcity.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, sometimes it is said in the purport that one who eats without offering to Krishna, he is eating sin, correct? Sometimes at home we fall sick and for example, for common cold and sore throat, we prepare medicine at home, a combination of ginger, black pepper and jaggery and all that. So are we supposed to offer the medicine to Krishna before we take it?
Why, you think Krishna gets sick? No, but what, you can say Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, and then take it.
Hare Krishna.
That's better. For medicine. Krishna doesn't get sick. Ram Gaur, you have a question?
Referring to these Western countries are very opulent. So also like that there were demoniac kings like Ravan, Hiranyakasipu and Dhritarashtra. So at that, Duryodhan, the people, there were a lot opulence. There were a lot opulence in the kingdom. So even if they are demoniac, people don't follow the atheist country, still there may be no reason that they cannot be opulent.
I didn't get it. I couldn't follow. Yeah. Oh, sure. A person has opulence according to their past karmic activities, right? Yeah. And they, in this life, though they may have, once people get opulence, the problem is if they're not Krishna conscious with that opulence, they use it for a life of sense gratification, right? And if you use your life for sense gratification, then your opulence gradually dwindles and becomes destroyed. So yes, persons that have gained opulence, right, they may keep it for some time, but gradually it'll dwindle if they don't recognize who's the source of that opulence. It'll go away. Because what is opulence? Opulence is good fortune, or Lakshmi Devi. But Lakshmi is known as Chanchal. She stays for some time and she goes away. But she always stays with her husband, Lakshmi Narayan. So the devotees of the Lord, they fix themselves up at the lotus feet of Lord Narayan or Krishna. And therefore, Lakshmi is always with them. See, it's not how much wealth a person has, it's how much a person is satisfied with whatever wealth they have. That's the really wealthy person. If you look at it externally, you think, oh, Bill Gates, he's such a wealthy person, right? But he has a heart attack every time his stock goes down, right? He liked that one. So it's not how much wealth one has. It's how much they're satisfied with whatever they do have. That's why the Brahmins are the most wealthy. What's the wealth of the Brahmins? Is that they don't have anything. And they're not attached to anything. That's what a real Brahmin is. Huh? He gets something and immediately distributes it. And he depends upon the mercy of the Lord to get more for his requirements. Huh? That's a real wealthy person. But the non-devotees, whatever they have, they're not satisfied. And they always are missing something. They have to have more. It's not quite right. So they're always manda sumanda matano manda bhagya. They're always in anxiety. It's only the devotees of the Lord that can become free from anxiety. And they're satisfied with anything. Whether they're in heaven or whether they're in hell, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, they're always situated in Narayana Parayana. Is that okay?
Yeah. One more reason about that. Can you hear me? One more reason about the opulence in the Western countries is that our four legs of religion, the one truthfulness, they follow in the Western countries. That in India they don't follow it. Is it right? The Western people are truthful?
I don't know. Most of the people I knew in the West weren't very truthful, except for the devotees. It's only the devotees that can actually be truthful. It's only devotees that can be actually honest with themselves, because they know who they are. They're the servants of Krishna. Other people, it's a facade. It's a total facade. They don't even know who they are. How can they be honest with themselves?
Not so much.
I don't know. It's Kali Yuga, you know, even that quality is quickly becoming corrupted also. That quality of honesty.
Not so much of bribery, not so much of corruption.
Oh, there's plenty of corruption in the West. Plenty of corruption. On the lower levels and the higher levels, plenty of corruption. It's just not so visible as it is in India. In India, everything is open, you know? The meat shop is, you can see the meat hanging there on the hook, and you see the guy that died and Ram Nam Satyahe, you see. But in the West, everything is kind of hidden. They don't want you to understand that there's death, right? They go in this fancy car called a hearse, and they're in the coffin, and there's a nice procession. So, you know, in the West, things are kind of hidden. But there's corruption. There's big corruption in the West. Bigger than you can even imagine. And it creates such a problem for the ordinary people in America. They're in so much anxiety because of the corruption at the top. And we understand from Srila Prabhupada what is the basis of that corruption. The basis of that corruption is that everything is based on sense gratification. It's all based on sense gratification. And the end of sense gratification is only one thing, suffering. So whether you're in India, whether you're in America, whether it's out in the open, or whether it's Chupacaraca, it's all the same thing. It's sense gratification, and it's the cause of everyone's suffering. So in order to get out of that mentality, there's only one path. Eki raste. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And then Thank you very much. Kantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gau Premanandi Hari Hari Om.
Thank you.